book of Isaiah. We're starting the book of Isaiah. Tonight it's about vision. I guess we could just go no further than the first verse, where it says, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear ye, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his own, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doeth not know my people doeth not consider. A sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord, and they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, and they have gone away backwards. That, along with the rest of the book of Isaiah, is what Isaiah is talking about. He's talking about the people in his nation, Judah. He has some in here about Assyria and Israel, but Hazael had died. And we'll see that in the sixth chapter. That's when Isaiah got seen the train of the Lord in the temple. But we don't know exactly when his ministry started. But Isaiah died in the 740, in 740 B.C. But it says that he prophesied during some of Isaiah's reign. And we know it's Isaiah reigned over 50 years, but it wasn't a whole lot of Isaiah's reign. I tell you, it was a good majority is where Amos and Hosea and Michael and Joel prophesied. They was the first of the writing prophets, those minor prophets. But this is the vision of Isaiah. And when we talk about vision, I have some papers printed, some notes to study for y'all to go back and study about visions. And we know that when it says a vision of the Lord, and and most scholars, and I've been looking and studying this for some time, we don't know if the whole thing was a literal vision, or was it an opening of his spiritual eyes, the opening of his spiritual eyes of what was the mode of revelation in which Isaiah was receiving here. Because a vision, and we're going to see that in Proverbs also, I think it's 28:19. I turn that down a little bit more. I turned it up, but you could turn it back down something, maybe 71, 72. We see where a vision, it's also could be a revealing, a revelation from Jesus Christ of things to come. He can give us spiritual sight, spiritual insight into what's happening. In other words, that we would see things to come. Because as so far as visions go, we know that there are no more open visions. We don't think God works. We're not limiting God and saying it doesn't work. But since the book is complete, God, I don't think he's giving open visions as such. It's all in his word, in the word of God. If you want to hear from God, it's in his word. You hear him speaking in his word. God not speaking to people in audible voices or anything. So regardless of what televangelists or who you hear about, God told them this and told them that. He told them the same thing he told us, and that's in his word. Mm-hmm. If it's in his word, this is the fullness of the prophecy of what God had said. So out of Nays Topical and a couple of other things, I gave y'all the thing about visions and the different people that saw visions and had visions. You remember last week I talked about Abraham's vision, not that necessarily saw each one of the children what was going to happen to him, but in Genesis, the 49th chapter of Genesis, I told you about what it was Jacob told his children, what their end would be, what would happen to him in the last days when he prophesied about the 12 tribes. Are we remembering that? What would the outcome, what would each son would be? And that came from the wisdom and knowledge of God. It came up from God opening his understanding and revealing to him exactly what was going to happen. And it was in Genesis chapter 49 when he called his sons and gathered them. And he said, I'm going to tell you what shall happen before you in the last days. Gather yourself together and hear. So he told each one of those in perspective what would happen to each one of them. And I told you, it happens through observation, the wisdom of God, the intellect of God. But it all is coming from God, and it's just like the book of Revelation. In other words, all this is what Jesus Christ reveals unto his people. Jesus Christ reveals this unto his people, and that's why the priesthood, that's why we're called a royal or a holy priesthood, because we're training to be priests. So if we're training to be priests, that means we're the first fruits, the church is, of what God is preparing for the kingdom of heaven. In other words, for the people to walk it, for us to teach the people to walk in God's ways or whatever. But first of all, we must know God's ways. We must be then prepared ourselves down here for that job. So we study to show ourselves approved in those things. And that's why I say the church is the ones that's coming out. You're not going to find those in the church, in the true church, sitting there watching television or doing other things all day long or whatever, and not studying and praying and going about the work of God, because those are the ones that are in the church but not actually a call of God. You remember I told you a lot of them in the church, but they're not chosen. They may be called, but many will be called, but only a few chosen, because they're not grasping the things of God. God hadn't opened their understanding to where they can see the things of God. He hadn't given them spiritual eyes to see. I'm going to start this, say, in Isaiah, the 55th chapter. Now, I know I read the first chapter about what he saw concerning them. But as I said, if Isaiah prophesied over a 50 to 60 years, I told you, that he prophesied. It was 50 to 60 years. So these wasn't dreams or trances, or some of them probably was or whatever. But this was God revealing to him, to his spiritual mind's eye, as to what was going on. He opened his eyes to where he could see. Just like each and every one of us, our eyes has to be open to where we can see. We see where, I told you also that he shut some of them eyes that they couldn't see, that they couldn't be converted, that they couldn't hear, they didn't have spiritual ears. They heard the word of God, they could sit in church and they could hear something, but they couldn't understand the word of God. So what he was talking about Judah there, we don't know if that goes right there. It's not in chronological order. And we know he definitely was talking to Judah. The prophecies was toward Judah mainly. And there he says in that chapter, opening it up, he says what he says, what he saw concerning Judah. Notice that the vision of Isaiah the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah in Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah. So Israel was already set, because Amos, Hosea, and Joel, they had already prophesied and spoke that they were going into captivity or whatever. Whereas he's going to talk about the Syrian army and everything taking Israel into captivity. But this was over a period of time that Uzziah was gone, and then the Sennacherib had came in and was capturing them, and the king of Assyria was taking away Israel, and he tried to come against Judah. So a prophet comes to forewarn you and arm you and give you a warning. So it was too late for them. It was too late for Israel. So just like today, it's too late for the nation. But it's people within the nation that God's calling out, and that's why it's our job. Without a vision, Proverbs say, the people perish. It's not the vision of just, say, the preacher or whatever. Each and every one of us need a vision. We need sight to see. We need spiritual eyes because we should be witnessing and speaking God's word if he had warned us. And that's why Moses said he wished that we all would prophesy. In other words, speak the word of God. And we have to know the direction and be led by God. And God reveals this to us through his son, Jesus Christ. And as I said, we go to Isaiah, the 55th chapter of Isaiah, the first through the third verse. And he talks a little bit here about something I want to focus on first and grasp it. He says, "Ho, everyone that thirsted, come ye to the waters, and he that had no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which is satisfied not? Hearken unto diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight in itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." Remember that, the sure mercies of David. Remember that for the next 3-6 months at least, because I'm going to focus on that, the sure mercies of David, when I'm teaching out of Luke about the blind man, Bartimaeus, and the man born from birth receiving their sight. The sure mercies of David. But while we see here, we focus in on the word ear in verse 3. It says, "Come unto me, all you and hear and live." And this is an important concept. See, because all don't have ears to hear. All don't have ears to hear. And without ears to hear, that condemns you. You're dead. Because the only way you can go to God, the only way you can be saved, is through faith. And how does faith come? Faith comes through hearing and hearing the word of God. So if you're not hearing, or you're not able to hear the word of God, you got a problem. That's in Romans 10:17, where it says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So this is a conclusion of the only way how to get in the kingdom of God is through hearing the word of God. And that's why Isaiah says, "Come, everyone, come unto me and drink and eat." You don't have to pay to get in here, but everyone with ears. But how do you have ears? God has to give you those spiritual ears to hear. He has to open up those ears. You can't open up your own ears. Salvation is by grace through faith. Now, you remember, faith is that vehicle. It's by grace, but it's through faith. So you have to have faith, to be able to hear through faith. And so it's absolutely necessary for the spiritual ears. Let's see, how can I have to go slow with this because I want you to kind of grasp what I'm saying, and I'm talking about grasping, and I want you to study this in your notes first. It teaches us how to have a living relationship with the Father and the Son. It's important, Jehovah's Witnesses, that the Father and the Son. Because the Father has to reveal the Son to you, and the Son has to reveal the Father. No man can come to God unless God draw him. But the Father's going to show you the Son, and then the Son's going to reveal the Father unto you like he revealed it to Thomas and Peter and Philip and all of them. He said, "Philip, have I been so long with you, and you had not known me?" It focuses on understanding the preaching of Christ. That's what the Father-Son teaching is, that all this power and authority had been given to Jesus Christ. That eliminates a lot of other religions that don't look to Jesus Christ, because he's the way and the truth and the life, and it brings in the focus that this is the only way of salvation, is through his Son. He's the captain of our salvation. In Matthew 17:5, it says, "While he was still speaking, a whole bright cloud came over him, and a voice came out." And what did that voice say? "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him." That's what's necessary. Remember in the translation, when he was transfigured among the three disciples, and Peter says, let us build us a tabernacle for Moses, one for Isaiah. But Jesus singling him out and says, look, this is my beloved in whom I will please. In other words, you're missing the whole point, Peter. Jesus is the one. He's Moses and Elijah's boss here. You can't have three tabernacles. You would take away from the central focus of Jesus Christ here. This is what you need to hear. Jesus teaching is paramount. The preaching is paramount. So that's what we're trying to do. Hearing him is the path of increasing faith and being able to live by faith is hearing what Jesus taught. And Jesus says, continue my word, and then you'll be my disciples. So that's the only way we can be pleasing unto God, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. And whatever is not of faith is sin. So we have to see this. Now, the ears, if we would, I want to read this from the Dictionary of Biblical Imagery. The Bible, the ear is synonymous with the heart and mind as an organ of cognition. The placement of this statement helps emphasize the importance of thoroughly understanding what Christ has said. The Word Finder, the Reader's Digest, Oxford Complete Word Finder Dictionary, defines the word cognition as knowing. So we have to know the Word of God. In other words, God has to give us this knowledge, you know, whatever. But listen, else what it encompasses. Perceiving, a perception. Perceive something. You know what perception is? That's a deep thought now, because when Peter realized, he says, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said, now, flesh and blood didn't reveal that unto you. It was my Father which was in heaven. See, perception is a cognitive thing, that this is what God's placing in us to organize our mind. He's transforming our mind into a spiritual thought processing center. So, also along with that, cognition is conceiving as an act of faculty distinct from emotion and volition. In other words, it's not physical. Have anybody ever told you you were doing something or whatever, something happened, a situation, and somebody said, well, oh, now I see. It's not that they was blind or anything, but due to your actions or whatever, I see what type person you is. I can see whether you're evil or wicked or whatever. That word, when somebody says, nah, see, that's a statement of conceptualizing or perceiving something about a person that's feelings, emotions, doesn't show or whatever. If you're having a problem, ask me now before I get too far where you don't understand what I'm saying. In other words, when somebody perceives something. You remember the woman at the well, and when Jesus was asking her about water, give me water and everything, and she says, I perceive that you're a prophet. You see, there's a whole different spiritual context working in people that starts to perceive or receive this spiritual sight. This is receiving a spiritual sight. Understanding, grasping, and getting are synonyms. To understand something. Grasping. Somebody talking to you and say, well, you don't get it. I can see that you don't get it. And teaching a lot of times, preachers are people, if you're really good, you know who's getting it, who's not getting it. In life, people could waste your time or whatever. There are a lot of people in. As you grow in the Word of God, you learn, well, don't waste too much time on this person. They're going to be lost You notice Jesus didn't waste time on the Pharisees or somebody that wasn't able to grasp something. Because God has showed you they're not getting this. It's not going to sink in. It's not for them to know. It's some people that will never know that you feel sorry for them or they act like they want to know or whatever. But God has closed this off. And if God has closed it off, how you open something God closes? They're not going to be able to grasp the word of God. There are many people, and like I said, the Bible is not written to carnal man, but they fumble over the scriptures. Peter says they wrestle with the scriptures to their own destruction, the scriptures of Paul, because the things he say are hard to understand. They're in deeper teaching than they should be in. They need to get back to the fundamentals. Paul say, you're not able to receive this. You need the milk of the word of God. You remember I was telling you, I was in this church, they couldn't get further than Acts 2:38, the baptism. They didn't understand holiness or whatever. And the problem was, they didn't even get that. And even though they were speaking and talking of that, that was too complex for them because they was tied up on a worry. They're not grasping it. They're not getting it. And that's the thing about when Jesus was talking to the disciples on the road of Emmaus, they wasn't getting it until he gave them the bread and opened their eyes to where they could understand the scriptures. They could understand what he was saying. So your understanding is darkened. That's what Paul says in Ephesians. The Gentiles having their understanding darkened. The light can't shine in. God hadn't shined the light in that. In God's word, he has his spirit is a light unto you, a lamp unto your path. It illuminates. Whereas if you're not spiritually born again, he hadn't given you revelation of this vision that I'm talking about, you're not able to see God. Do you actually see God? See, the way you see God is through the eyes of faith. Only the pure in heart sees God. So you can't jump up from just doing things all in the world. And he says, no man can serve two masters. You think that you going to church and you preaching and teaching and living around your house for God or whatever. You're not. You think you are. These are the ones going to say, Lord, didn't we do all this in your name or whatever? Because they didn't get it. They're like the Laodicean Christians. They were lukewarm. They're in church and they're going through the motions. But the Spirit is not working in them, and that's why they don't have any joy. You can tell people that don't have any joy. You can tell people that hadn't been born again because there's no hunger for God's Word. There's no hunger there. And you have that ability to know the ones that love one another. That's why they couldn't put one over on Jesus. That's why you can't put one over on people, the closer you get to God. That's why I say this is a spiritual battle we in, and we have to be able to see all of the religious hypocrites around us. How political a nation this is that's hypocritical. Of the false churches, the false preachers teach. That's why he says many of them will come in his name. That we are in a dangerous and perilous times, and the Bible tells dangerous and perilous times are coming. The hearing in Isaiah, this 55th chapter, verse 1 through 3, requires concentrated listening. Concentrated listening. Comparing scripture with scripture and meditated understanding. These lead to a living faith and grasping the sovereignty of God over our lives. I'd be in the middle of a program and say, I can't watch this. I can't watch this. I can't, because it shuts down something that's God's touching in me, and this is coming up against it, and I'm contending for the faith. And if I allow Satan to trick my mind here, put this blind over me, I can't see what God says. So instead of consuming the finality of what I was doing on my own lust, I would have to say, no, this is not spiritually correct. Was watching a show the other day with Wesley Snipes in it. Worst show I've ever seen. I was about an hour and something into the movie, and I said, well, this is an hour I'll never be able to get back in my life or whatever. I hadn't redeemed the time or whatever. I say, but let me cut it off before the conclusion, you know, another 30 minutes or whatever to go into the movie, because Satan's not going to hold me to wait, okay, I sit down and waste all that time. I should have got up early. You see what I'm saying? So you're not giving provisions to the flesh. It's more stuff on television, more stuff. If you're not seeing that God is talking to you, that's why I say to get the vision, you're going to have to strain. And as we've been talking about, contending for the faith, it requires killing self, not consuming things upon your own lust. That's what television, that's what entertainment, that's what the world, that's what relative, that's what people do to their own lust, the familiarity of their own lust, of them or who they are. And God's trying to talk to you in that small, still voice. Instead of you listening at something, you go on and complete it and then get yourself in a fix and then say, I should have listened at something. Well, you knew what the word of God says and you didn't do what God says. You chose to do the very opposite of what God says. You're not going to be able to see the vision. It dulls your hearing. And that's why we go study. As he says, you become dull of hearing and you have become blind, you know. You can't see. The Laodicean, they needed ointment. They needed ointment to anoint their eyes with so that they could see, because they thought they had need of nothing, but they were spiritually blind. And see, this is what Isaiah was saying to the people. They thought that God couldn't destroy, wasn't going to destroy Jerusalem. And they, like I told you, they ended up killing Isaiah. Manasseh put him in a log and sawed it in half. The world think it's on a right religious track, and it's going to destroy anybody that tries to get it off that track. That's why we would have to end up sacrificing ourselves and looking unto Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. Okay, let me continue along this line of spiritual comprehension here, of spiritual grasping, of listening, of walking in the Word. Without a fundamental walk in the Word, it can't become true in your life. That's why James says, if you hear a word and not a doer, well, this is not going to make it. You can go to church all of your life, but if you're not actually doing it, it's not going to have an effect in your life. And that's why I say, with a lot of the Catholics and the Word of Faith churches, and I was talking to somebody, you notice they never make really negative comments about finances and different things. It was just like Job. You know, Job didn't worry about everything leaving or whatever, because he knew he was solid with God financially. So whatever was coming up against his finances in his life or whatever, something else is wrong. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do in that area or whatever. I was telling someone today, well, don't sit around and talk to people about times getting bad and you got less and less money. If you're having less and less money, you're doing something wrong. Your life is messed up. Now, the less and less money, if you look and examine that and get some comprehension, okay, if I'm doing everything right, let me dig under here and see where God is. Let me see where God is. This has to be God doing this, and I want to know why God's doing it. That's what Job said. That's how he asked God. He said, now you understand God. Because he knew, all of his friends was telling him, and he knew it wasn't financial because he was giving to God. If you halfway paying tithes and offerings, or you halfway giving God time, if your life's not on course the way it should be, don't blaspheme in the church and don't blaspheme in God's word and say this is not working out. I don't want you sitting with people and telling people about this. You should tell people it's getting better. If you go to most of these Word of Faith churches, or Catholic churches, or whatever, their deacons, members, and preachers, they're living good. They might be struggling, but they're not complaining, and they're joy, and they happen, and that's a positive test. That's God's working in their life. You didn't hear Job mumbling and complaining about that. He said, well, should I complain when God do bring bad in my life? He knew it was God at the base of it. He said, God give it and God take it away.
Don't sit around with somebody talking about this and that. Well, you don't know how to spend money. You might let your wife or somebody else spend money on whatever. If you're having problems, if you're serving God, somewhere I'm not comprehending what God told me to do. He says, I'm going to make you the head, not the tail. The head, not the tail. And see, that's what makes people mad at the Isaiahs of life. That's what makes people talk about a lot of the religions where the people prospering and doing things is because they're cheeky. It's because they're not giving and living. So whether it's your brother, your uncle, your grandma, your sister, your children, your whoever it is, if they're not towing the line, do you know what's happening? You're giving God a bad name because you're allowing them to hold somebody back that's calling on the name of Christ. He says, depart from iniquity. You have to shake the dust off the foot. After you warn them and tell them of God's word, they're blind. They can't see. So you have to separate, cause them to separate from you. Something's wrong if they're holding on to you. And that's what Isaiah told his people how it was. And that's why they was ready to kill him. He had a family. You remember he had sons? He had a wife and thing. But see, if you can't guide your family, you can't see the vision. You can't run your own house, you can't run God's house, so why should he give you a vision to see? It's a lot of female heads of household. And through all kinds of circumstances, these things come about. But where there's repentance and a change in life, God might not change the circumstances, but you see a lot of women stronger for God than men are. And that's why I say it's not gender prohibitive. You know, there's no male or female in Christ Jesus. There's no clicks. We're not running the clicks. I don't care if you're a preacher, a deacon, a choir member, a layman, or whoever you are, blind, crippled, or crazy. You have to toe the line with Jesus Christ. And he says it's going to be laid there. Everybody's going to have to toe the line. There's going to be a plumb line. John, the 7th chapter of John. Fifth verse. Even his own brothers who lived with him day in and day out did not believe in him. They didn't follow Jesus. His brothers and sisters didn't follow. That's why it doesn't bother me. And that's why I ask you, do you have brothers and sisters? They're some of the worst people to deal with sometimes. You know, and the proverbs say a brother is born for adversity. So in times of trouble, a brother or sister, you help one another out because you're related to one another. But other than that, sometimes they'll drag on your life. You know, you hate to see them coming sometimes. And they just pathetic cases. That's why Jesus said, who is my mother? Who is my father? And brother and sister? Those that do the will of the Father. It is almost unbelievable that someone living with God would not recognize or would not see him as God. Mm-hmm. They didn't believe he was God because they were too close to him. Familiarity breeds contempt. You know, husbands and wives, some of the worst people to deal with, the hatred and the pull toward one another, that friction is there and they hadn't broken down that wall of friction. Somebody's not right in God. So, I wanted somebody to go through that. I'll find that verse, John 7 and 8:5. They had wanted him to go up to Jerusalem during the feast or whatever. And they said, then Jesus said unto them, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand, and his brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence and go into Judea, that thine disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou doest these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. So go ye up unto the feast, and I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is yet not come. So he wasn't doing it when they wanted him to do it. And, you know, your family always, well, you're a Christian man, are you supposed to be a Christian in this, and want you to show yourself. Pathetic losers, stay away from around them if they don't understand that God, you're led by the Spirit of God. And that's why a lot of Christians are in the condition they're in today, trying to prove their Christianity or their religion to other peoples. Jesus said, the world hated me because I testify against the world. See, some people love the world and the things of the world, and they're trying to throw you in a fix because they want your world to break you down. And most Christians are being broken down. A lot of them are being broken down. But the true people in God are being strong enough. I see it, and that's my hope that I see. And that's what's making me stronger, the other Christians and the people I see in the world. John 8:43-47 says, why do you misunderstand what I'm saying? It is because your spiritual ears are deaf and you are unable to hear the truth of my word. You are of your father, the devil, and it is the will to practice desires which are characteristic of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks what is natural to him, for he is a liar and the father of lies and half-truths. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me and continue in your unbelief. Which one of you has proof and convicts me of sin? If I speak truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God and belongs to him hears the truth of God's word, and for this reason do not hear them. Because you are not of God and you are not in fellowship with him. They had literal ears, right? They had literal ears, of course, but that is not what Jesus was talking about. They heard the sounds and the words being formed, but the cognition, the conception, the perception of what he was saying wasn't registering with him. It couldn't, because God had it to where they were blind and they were deaf. They couldn't hear. And Jesus tells us that what Isaiah said, that it was shut up to them. And one bunch of people, it says he marveled at their unbelief. It's something, and I just hate to see a lot of people waste their time on the same old people that's not getting it. And it's not scripture when they say, well, they say you keep hammering, keep on. No, it doesn't. It says after the second admonition, leave them alone. You're wasting your time on some people. Maybe let somebody else teach them or get to it. You know, sometimes it might be for that spouse to be in some other church or some other place. They don't believe or not going to listen at you. Eve didn't believe Adam. That's why she went against God's word. She didn't believe Adam. And that's why God subjected her unto Adam, because Adam had told her what God had said. A lot of times, your children will believe some other parent or somebody else rather than what they would believe you. People will believe other people sometime over what you say. So why would you still subject yourself to those people if they're not going to listen to what you're telling them? When they run into trouble and problem, oh, Mama, I said, yeah, you should have listened. You know, I'm not going to have to come drum that in, but the consequences, you ain't in, you bigger fool enough to go tie yourself up so bad. That's why a lot of the older parents or grandparents and people can't retire, not living right, not having nice cars, and on jobs complaining and going on, because all their money spent on grown children. When your children are grown, if your daughters or sons and things are married or whatever, however their lives are turning out, don't you sink your boat for them. They're going to have to learn that's your husband. You need to stay with your husband. Don't divorce your husband. That's your wife. You need to stay with your wife. You can't stay here. If you stay here, you're going to pay full rent. You can pay the bills. You can pay all this here. Plus, you could be paying tithe somewhere. You can bring a curse up on my house. See, that's what's happening to the generations. That's why we can't see. Because we're lacking a vision of what God is showing us. God is trying to show us how to live. That's why I said the mother's going to be against the daughter-in-law against the father-in-law. It's going to divide households, because it's not but a few that's going to want to do actually what the word said do. If it says leave your mother and father, well, that means cleave to your husband. Don't go whoring around and then he beat the hell out of you and then you come back home and tell me, I don't know what's wrong with that man. Don't be going around, as they say, your sons and daughters going a whoring, and he chasing every woman out there, and she leave him or something happens. What happened? You're not living according to God. But both of y'all still talking about going to church somewhere doing this. None of our eyes will be open if I keep condoning this kind of stuff. Lot was better off when those daughters got burned up in Sodom. You remember the ones that didn't listen to him, the son-in-laws and the sons that he said that looked like Lot was marking them? He was better off. I don't know what Job's sons and daughters was doing. That's why Job was offering up offering. He says perhaps they had sinned. God moved him out of the way for some reason or another. God moved Aaron's two sons out of the way when they offered up fire on the altar that they should not. He says, now you tell Moses, you go tell Aaron, don't act like he disagreed with this decision or not, or I'll kill him. See, we're not standing up against our children. We're not standing up against the people on our job. We're not contending for the faith that was once delivered under the saints. That's how Isaiah got sawed in the head. That's how Jesus got put on the cross. That's how Paul lost his life, is standing up against the world. But you go along with every Tom, Dick, and Harry that come along and tell you this is scripture, or this what this sound like. Everybody got some input in what the word of God says. But Isaiah was a different prophet. Jeremiah was a different prophet. In the way we will be different if people go hate us. And he says, the world will hate you. It hated me. But we want to be loved by everybody. We don't want to give people bad news. We don't want to tell people what the word of God says. But they did not really relate to what he was saying. These was the Pharisees that he was talking to, that they were of their father the devil. It just didn't seem like something God would, you know, because we know that we of our father Abraham, we've never been in bondage, you know. They physically was tied in right. They was in, hooked up the right way. And that's why it says, why do you think you don't understand what I'm saying? He explains that they were unable to hear. He was implying that the problem was in Herod. It was, he was speaking one language and they understood another language and they didn't come together. You remember at the Tower of Babel where he confused their languages? They had to go their separate ways because one wasn't understanding the one another. That's why sometimes homes break up in the father and the mother or the parent or the wife or the children. Somebody go a different way because before we kill one another, we just not don't understand one another. We're not getting along with one another. You go your way and I go my way. That's what Abraham and Lot had to do. They said, well, Lot, you go to the right and I go to the east because it could be some confusion here. We need to stop trying to tolerate and compromise to get along with people. And sometimes we have to do what it's going to take to get along with God. If they don't like it, they don't like it. Stop compromising what God says to get along with people. John 8 deals with freedom or liberty. These people were in bondage, and people don't realize that we were born in bondage to a kind of slavery, and they didn't even know that they were in bondage. That's something for to be in bondage. Say, we be of Abraham, we've never been in bondage. Well, you was in bondage to the Roman government. You was paying them taxes, wasn't you? A lot of us are in bondage. The God of this world has blinded our eyes so that we can't see. We were born in bondage. If you read Martin Luther's Bondage of the Will, you'll see you're either in bondage to God, either you're in bondage to Satan. God has to take you and redeem you through Jesus Christ to place you as a bondservant or a slave of Jesus Christ. How you have free will? There's no such thing as free will. You in bondage and Jesus comes along like the man born blind. He opens up our eyes so that we can see. That's what he was a light to the world, to the Gentiles, so that we can see. By his stripes we were healed. That's what gave us spiritual sight. You stop looking at these things in the physical. If the Bible is spiritual and he that is born of God is spiritual, in flesh and blood shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven, they that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. So why would you keep referring to physical things instead of spiritual things? Jesus was trying to tell us a spiritual thing, and we couldn't see it because we were flesh. He says, Nicodemus, you're a ruler of the and you're a Pharisee, and you don't know that you must needs be born again? Flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of heaven. That's why we compromise with the people and the religions around us, because their churches are blind, leading them in the blind, and we agree with them so we can work with them or whatever. And that's why a lot of jobs say, I didn't hire you to preach a teaching thing here. A lot of places, you're not allowed to preach or teach on the job. Talk religion, they say politics and religion divides. Because I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear. And that's why we have Islam, all these things. Because these people believe in what they believe in. And you come in here with this foolishness talking about you a Christian or whatever and doing everything counter-Christian. Why? This, I see the worst Christians in this nation. They should name the name of Jesus. He said those that name the name of Christ should depart from iniquity. So that's why they're blind. They can't see. They can't get a vision. They can't see God. Maybe why we're not seeing God. We can't see. And at the revelation of Jesus Christ, if we're being led by the Spirit, and if we are in the church of Jesus Christ, and say, you have no need that no man teacheth you, for the Spirit itself teacheth you. So that's why each and every one of us has to get a vision, get a sight of God, and that he speaks to each and every one of us. How can you be in bondage to some preacher? And there's a lot of people that have choices of Paul, Cephas, a lot of people, T.D. Jakes, Joel Osteen, or this person or that person. That means you worship those people or something. The word of God is the word of God, no matter if Harry Houdini is speaking. The word of God is the word of God. That's what you're born again by. That's what's the thing. And so a lot of the preachers that really care for people, Vodi Bocum was saying this, about some ministers have 50 to 60 people in their congregation, small churches and things, and they're preaching and they love their members and preaching their heart out, but, oh man, I got to make it on so I can see Joel Osteen. You know, T.D. Jakes is on and this and that, that. And that's what's got them so twined up. That's what got them so twined up. And that's why a lot of the some people, preachers of God, don't want to be online or don't want to, because you'll get listening at this guy that is a great orator or something, and he don't know you from Adam, but that's your preacher. But the preacher that's laboring and loving you, know your name, and your true shepherd, you won't even listen to him. It's like porn. You know what happens with porn? People get so hooked up on porn, they're not satisfied with their wife. They're not satisfied with their husband. They get desensitized by these things. That's what happens. If you drink too much alcohol, alcohol is not going to satisfy you anymore. It's got people around me in my neighborhood. They drink, waking up with 40 ounces in the morning. You see them walking the street with 40s and things. When you smoke dope all day or whatever, you got a problem, because now it's not recreation or whatever. You have to have, that's why they tell you about drugs. You need to keep that constant high. You're trying to consistently be high. What if it was possible to continue in the flesh, why would he say don't be drunk with wine, but be drunk with the Spirit? He says continue to be filled with the Spirit of God. Keep that spiritual high. It's no use keep coming down off that spiritual high. Elijah had spiritual highs and lows. He was got so low spiritually that he said, Lord, it's enough. Kill me. Take my life. So Jesus didn't have those points, because he always did that which pleases the Father. Get a view of God. That's what this vision is. We want to do like Peter, see Jesus, and keep the focus on Jesus and not the physical waves and the water that's going on around us. We'll begin to sink. Faith took his eyes off Jesus and he looked at the water and he became discombobulated and he cried to Jesus. Well, those waves was boisterous and doing all that when he got out of the boat, right? Because he said, Lord, if it's you, save me. I mean, if it's you, bid me come to you. So everything was the same when he got on the water So nothing changed, but Peter's perspective of things changed. The way he perceived things, that's when he began to sink. It didn't say the storm got any worse or whatever. He took his eyes off Jesus. Get your eyes off of the world. Keep your focus on Christ. Keep your focus on Christ. Your comprehension level stays there. Now, spiritual understanding. We almost, it's 10 more minutes, I think I have. Isaiah 28, 9 through 13. Isaiah 28, 9 through 13. Let me try to get there if nobody has it. This is similar to the explanation of the parables and where God says he scatters understanding on any given subject. And that's why I told y'all we need to add a teaching segment, another teaching class to our weekly schedules. And Isaiah 28, 9-13. It says, whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with a stammering lips and another tongue, I will speak to this people. And so, God has put, as I told you, the Bible is a canon of scripture that's weaving, a doctrine that's weaving together. So you have to know Genesis. You have to have a thorough knowledge of the Old Testament before you can know the New Testament. Most churches now don't like you preaching or teaching out of the Old Testament. Yeah, oh, that's the Old Testament. Well, you don't know what they're talking about in the New Testament if you don't know what the Old Testament. That's why Paul was so strong, because the Pharisees, they studied the Old Testament. They knew their scriptures. That's why Moses said, listen to what the Pharisees say. They didn't. They knew the scriptures, but now they didn't know Jesus. They didn't have a spiritual. He didn't open their understanding. They didn't understand it. But he said, don't do as they do, because they were hypocrites, just like the people are today. So you have to study the Bible, because if you notice throughout the years, I'm pulling one thing from the Old Testament, something from the New Testament, putting it here. Hopefully you're saying, oh man, this is, I hadn't seen this. And it's scattered throughout. God doesn't put it all in a pile there. So we're going to need to just look through the scriptures and search the scriptures to be sure in it. And Jesus says, let it be unto you according to your faith. So in other words, you will grow according to your faith in his word. And that's similar to the words he spoke to the centurion in Matthew 8 and 13 about no greater faith, because those people were depending on what God's word said. The one I told you to hold about the mercies and the sure mercies of David, where the man that was born blind and they kept asking you what happened, and he says, have mercy on me, the son of David. See, because they were dependent on God's word. This was before the New Testament. See, this was New Testament time, so it hadn't been written. The apostles hadn't put it together yet. And the blind man, it says, it never had been heard of a person being born blind, seeing. This was a miracle Jesus did, but they were contesting of the miracle. So this, even the blind man saw and knew, and it wasn't written in scripture. This is nowhere in the Old Testament where a person born blind can see. See, most of the people that were blind, and the reason blindness that came about, it was through STDs and different virus and different things, germs and things happening to you over a period of time. They were laborers and agricultural laborers. They couldn't protect their eyesights like we do with shades and gargles and different things and sand and rocks and things blowing in the eyes. Over a period of time, you see what a lot of the elderly or the people nowadays, that
don't have access to proper medical care, and that's one thing that's anti-Christian about this nation. They don't believe in universal health care. But it's a lot of people with cataracts and different things. Over a period of time, the eyes go through a whole lot of different things that happen. It's a lot of young people or people that are working that have glaucoma and different diseases. When some babies are born or whatever, they have, I don't know, yellow jaundice or different things that in their eyes or whatever. And you have to wash and get all those things out. A lot of things could, but this guy was born blind from birth. And she said, nobody had seen the cause of this blindness. You see, so we have to have faith in God. But every day things are going to be happening, and we can't contribute it to sin, this and that, but we could have faith in God that we can overcome these things, to go through things in our day-to-day life, and that we see the end in Jesus Christ, and that is eternal life and prosperity and health. Even though these things hadn't came to pass yet, we believe and trust his word, his promises. So this is what gives us hope. That's why we live from day to day, is in hope. Because it's in his word that the blind will see, that you'll have homes or whatever. So you might think you're going to have a home in this life, and God may give it to you. But he may do like Abraham, he might not give it to you. But you know you'll have a home in the next life because you're laying up treasures in heaven. Mm-hmm. You're giving and giving to God and doing the thing. So you know God's going to do his promises if you don't have in this life. Abraham didn't have a steady house in his job. He never planted roots. The Bible tells you he didn't see the promises fulfilled. The only thing he seen was Isaac, but the end of these promises. So that's what faith, hope, and love does. To catch this vision, like I said, we're going to have to strain, but we're going to have to see what is it we're straining to see. Is it with spiritual eyes? Is it through the eyes of faith? Because the pure in hearts see God. Simeon saw God. God had told him he was going to see the Savior, the Messiah, before he died. He was ready to die after he seen Jesus. He said it was enough then. He had lived so long or whatever. Anna, she seen Jesus. So these are people that labored. But we're trying to understand something that's spiritual. And Jesus was spiritual. He that he has ears to hear. So it's a lot of people that don't hear the word of God and eyes to see. Because they're looking for a trance or a dream or some vision. And Paul and the rest of them tell you prophecies, vision, all these things, tongues, all these things was going to wane away. They was going to disappear. At the end of Paul's life, you didn't see all these miracles and miraculous things. That was to establish the church in its infantile state. So there's no use people, some woman coming here one time, hopping around and going on like she's speaking in tongues or whatever. Well, who are you talking to? Don't nobody understand that but your brother that just jumped up there. You say the same thing in other churches, other places, different ways or whatever, and he interpreted to say, get that foolishness out of here. We need to start studying and knowing in the churches. A lot of times people will come in trying to sell us a bill of goods. The Antichrist and the false religious people will have us jumping through hoops. But once we start to see and walking in faith, we will begin to see God more clearly. And we will go through less. The older people get it. You notice that old people don't worry as much as young people because of experience and a walk in life. But then there are some old fools still doing the same thing. And nothing's worse than an old fool. But God grows some of us, gives us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding according to our walk of faith in him. So what we'll preach on Saturday is coming from, I think it's Kings, about the man with Elijah gave sight to see, that he asked God to open his eyes. And that's what you're praying for, that God would open up our eyes. And when we're praying for our daily bread, we pray, give us this day our daily bread. Well, what you going to do when he give you the bread? Are you going to eat it? Hmm. Okay, well, as you eat the bread, you say, thy will be done. So when he's doing his will, you got to forgive others their trespasses. You got to walk that you helping establish his kingdom, because there's a purpose he saved you and there's a reason. But he's not going to give you light of more light if you're not using that he had given to you. The more you're given, the more you have to account for. So I wouldn't give my child something that he can't account for the little I'd given him. Why would he give that one talent man 10 talents if he knew he wasn't going to do nothing with that one talent but go hide it? It's like going to a buffet or something. I stopped going to the place that buffets are well because I see people piling food on their plates. So why would you pile all that on your plate and know you're not going to eat it? Why would you get all that? Well, it didn't taste right. Well, why didn't you get a little bit of it and taste it to see before you pile all that up on there? The Bible tells us, taste the Lord and see that he's good. See, don't stay in the church and follow Jesus in all this, because Jesus could become a stumbling block to you now. We'll read that he was a stumbling block to the Jews. That he could become a stumbling block, a rock of offense. There are more people that are in Christ Jesus that he darkens the eyes, because now what's been happened, you rejected him. And that's what Isaiah was talking to people that had rejected what God said. That's why he darkened, he sent darkness upon him. And he says, he started to speak to them in parables. That's in this lesson also. Because says, Peter said, why do you speak to them in parables? Because he says it's not for them to see. It's not for them to understand. Because they had rejected. You keep telling your child something over and over. You the idiot, you keep telling him. Hmm. You know, I'm not talking about a teaching process. But there are some people, and you know, there are people that say, okay, well look, this guy is, in other words, they slow. In other words, they're not going to be able to get it. You have to know those that's not going to be able to get it. God has to give you that discernment. You don't want to neglect something God has given you to give out. You don't give it out. So we'll see where Jesus did that frequently, in that they had rejected Jesus. And that's what I think the period we're in now, where he says in the latter days he was going to send darkness, that he was going to send a strong delusion because the people loved the lie, and he was going to fix it where they would believe a lie. This nation is believing lies. The truth is diluted here. Isaiah's going to go through that. But we would have to be, he's trying to open your spiritual eyes, trying to give us those visions. He say, if you're my friends, his friends going to know what he's doing. It's not going to be possible. He says, it's not possible to fool the elect. Are you one of the elect, or are you one of the ones where Satan has deceived the whole world? When it says Satan deceived the whole world, he's not talking about the elect. He's not going to be able to fool the elect. But he's going to deceive the whole world. The Laodiceans was blind. He says, you're naked, blind, poor, and wretched. But there was a church now. There was a church that he wrote to. Do you need spiritualized? Is that the vision you're trying to get? Heavenly Father, as we come before you this night, Lord God, strength.